Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, when the summertime comes and your kids are outside playing, well, you hope they're outside playing and not sitting in front of video games because it is the summertime and kids need to get out and run around and play. But there are little critters around, and we hear about things like ticks and Lyme disease, and, you know, you've got pets that are outside running around as well. And what do you do if your kid gets stung by a bee and you're a parent and you don't know if they're allergic, so you don't want to freak out about it? But, you know, there are so many kinds of bites that they come up with, and you're always looking at a bite going, is that a spider bite or what is that? So we are going to talk about bites and bee stings and rashes and all of those summer skin things that happen to our children. My guest is Dr. Andrew Bernstein. He's a pediatrician and a spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics. Dr. Bernstein, welcome to the show. So what are some of the most common bug bites that you see? Are they bee stings or are they like spider bites and stuff?
Thank you so much for inviting me onto the show. The most common bug bites we see, I'm in the Chicago area, so we don't really see too many spider bites around here. Those tend to be in the warmer parts of the country. The most common thing I see probably are just plain old mosquito bites. Mosquito bites can definitely, in some people, swell up really big where people are worried that it's going to turn into some serious reaction like what we worry about with bee stings. But mosquito bites can never actually turn into a severe, what we call an anaphylactic reaction. Mosquito bites can never turn into a severe anaphylactic reaction like a bee sting. And so with mosquito bites, if you get them, we just treat them with cool compress and an antihistamine, an oral antihistamine, or a topical steroid like a hydrocortisone ointment. Although those are the most common, the stings that more people are talking about are either the bee stings, especially when somebody has a severe bee sting allergy, or tick bites. There's a lot more information coming out in the news media and on the internet about tick bites. I've seen some reports that ticks are actually on the rise this year because it was a warmer winter. And whether it's that or just people are more aware, I think we really need to be aware of illnesses that come from ticks.
Talk about tick checks. Let's talk about preventing them first. But then if you do take your kids camping or to the lake or something like that, you know, we'll talk about a little overview of tick checks. So preventing tick bites, and that would be similar to preventing mosquito bites. What do we do?
Correct. First of all, ticks love to be in wooded areas and in grassy areas. So if possible, we recommend long pants. And although it might not be the most fashionable choice, tucking those pants into the socks so that there's no way for ticks to kind of get under the pant cuff.
Yeah, teenagers are going to do that.
Okay. But a family that's going on a big hike, I think we could convince some people to do that if we scare those same teenagers a little bit about ticks. At the same time, we're scaring teenagers about ticks. Tick bites overall are not as scary as the news media sometimes makes them out to be, but it makes sense to avoid them if we can. So wearing long pants, long sleeves, and, yes, maybe tucking those pants into the socks, but also using a DEET-containing bug spray is helpful and it's important. Of course, parents worry that DEET is going to hurt their children or cause any sort of neurologic problems. DEET is actually extremely safe. We recommend that it not be applied to, well, anyone under 6 months of age. And then over 6 months of age into adults, we advise it not to be applied to the hands or the face because it would be too easy to get it into the mouth. And that's when DEET, at least in children, can cause problems. And we only advise applying DEET once a day. So if you are on a big camping trip or you're in a place with a lot of ticks or mosquitoes, for that matter, we recommend using a deep woods sort of formulation of containing a high percentage of DEET, 15-20%, something like that. But we recommend only applying once a day, which is different from sunscreen, which is a different conversation, which should be applied every 2 hours.
Okay, so we've applied DEET, we've tucked the pants in, we're wearing long pants if we're hiking in the woods or camping.
Perfect.
Doing all of these things. And then what do we do to check? I mean, I like to give my kids, especially around the ankles and that area and even the groin or under the arms, when you do a tick check of your kids, what are you supposed to do and what do you do if there's one on there?
So first of all, you should do a full skin check when you come in. The nice thing is that I recommend once you're done with a day of having DEET on you, you should wash it off before bedtime. Because it is a chemical that can potentially be harmful, we want to wash it off before bedtime. A shower or a bath for a child is a great time to inspect their whole body, top to bottom. I even run my fingers through my kid's hair just to make sure there's nothing in there. A tick will, you'll feel a little bump sticking out under the hair, and certainly you'll see it on the rest of the body. If you see one, then yes, we want to get that tick out. Most of the, not all, but most of the serious tick-borne illnesses, a tick needs to be attached and having its little blood meal for at least 24 hours before that, before the offending parasite or bacteria or virus can be transmitted to the human host. So we have plenty of time to get that tick out. It's important that you don't just pull the tick out, because if you just pull the tick by the body, you can leave the head or the little jaw pinchers attached, and those can continue to be transmitting the illness from the tick to the person, even if the body of the tick is removed. So one common way to do it, of course, doctors are good at doing this with tweezers to get the jaw opened up and pulled out of the skin, but you can use a credit card to, rather than pulling the tick out of the body, you use the plastic edge of the credit card to scrape along the skin and kind of pull, making sure you get the head and the jaw parts out of the skin.
Wow. And then the tick itself might still be alive. So, you know, what do you do? Flush it down the toilet or something?
I would save that tick. Do not flush it down the toilet. Pop it in a bag and save it. There are certain areas of the country where any sort of tick bite that may have been on for any length of time, you should call your doctor right away. It's never a bad idea to call your doctor after a tick bite anyway. But there are certain parts of the country where just based on a tick bite, and especially where a tick may have been attached for more than a day, it warrants automatic antibiotics or observation or, in some cases, even blood work to evaluate for certain diseases. There are other parts of the country where if somebody gets a tick bite, especially depending on the size of the tick, sometimes we can tell if it's a tick that might be carrying illness or not. There are certain parts of the country where doctors are very reassured, or can be very reassuring, rather, to you, and say that, nah, there's nothing to worry about in this area. Let's see if a rash or other symptoms develop over the next few weeks.
Okay, so good news, you know, good information on ticks. Now, what about bee stings? Because the first bee sting your kid gets is always that scariest one, but it's the second one you'd notice, right? That
correct.
They say the second one is the one you really watch closely for. What are we looking for?
Well, the majority of people who get bee stings will not have a severe bee sting allergy. We're talking bees, wasps, yellow jackets, that whole family of big, scary, buzzing, stinging insects. Everybody with their first one, they're going to have some local swelling. First, there is the surprise that the child says, ow, I got stung. And then very quickly, within a minute or two, it starts swelling a little bit locally, just around where the sting was, and can get pretty painful. There are a host of over-the-counter or old folktale remedies that people use that usually don't cause any harm, but also we feel like they don't do too much benefit for them. When somebody gets a bee sting, I recommend a cool compress to help cut down on the swelling. I recommend an oral antihistamine like Benadryl or diphenhydramine, and then some topical hydrocortisone to help, again, with all that swelling. Kids should slowly be getting better, although it'll hurt for a good day or two. What we worry about more, like you said, is that second sting. Because people who are going to have a severe bee sting allergy or have an anaphylactic reaction where, although they just got stung on their foot or their hand, they have a whole body allergic reaction where, in the dangerous cases, they can have lip swelling, tongue swelling, their throat can get tight, and they can have trouble breathing. Those are the people that need to be carrying some sort of epinephrine injector, like an EpiPen or AuviQ. Those are two of the brands that are out there. Those are the people that could get very sick and deathly ill from a bee sting. So the first bee sting, we take care of no problem. The second bee sting, if it seems to be getting worse than the first reaction at all, that's when we make sure we get in contact with a healthcare professional.
Okay, so while we're taking care of those bites and stings, we're hiking, we're camping, we're doing all this fun stuff, and the kids come out of the lake or out of the woods and they've got a rash, or they've got an itchy red spot that we don't think is necessarily some kind of a bug bite. Do we race off to the doctor? Do we try cortisone? What do we do if we see a rash and we're not sure if it's poison ivy or poison oak or one of those?
Right. The poison ivy, poison oak, poison sumac, those are all in the woods, and they're easy to come back from playing in the woods with a rash on the body. The very first thing to do is to take a shower and wash with soap. The oils of those plants are what cause the irritation, and if all we do is itch at a rashy spot, you're going to get the oil under your nails, and then you're going to touch a different part of your body, touch your face, touch your ear, touch your belly, and start spreading that rash all around. So the first thing to do is wash with soap and wash under the fingernails if you've been scratched or if the child's been scratching at those spots at all. That's the first thing to do. Then the second thing to do is, again, the topical steroid, like a hydrocortisone ointment, and an oral Benadryl can help as well. And then if it's not getting better, you might need to see a doctor for oral steroids. For all of these cases I've been mentioning, oral Benadryl and oral antihistamine, we recommend against using topical antihistamines because they can get absorbed into the body in sometimes very significant amounts, and especially younger children, if they get a lot of topical Benadryl on them, topical antihistamine of any type, it can cause a lot of sedation. So topical steroid, oral antihistamine.
So it doesn't really necessarily matter. We don't need to know exactly what type it is as long as we shower the kids off with soap and then use an oral antihistamine. And if it doesn't go away or becomes a problem or starts to spread, we get off to our doctor.
Exactly.
Okay, so there's all of these kinds of things. And then we also see rash that's just heat rash. You know, maybe they're getting it from the heat or something. What do we do about that?
Well, it can come from so many different things. It can come from just the heat, getting sweaty. It can come from sunscreens. It can come from any kind of perfumed lotion that we're putting on. So I definitely start with not doing any sort of perfumed lotions or skincare products or sun protection products. Definitely light, breathable cotton clothing is going to help with heat rash as much as possible. Just staying hydrated and staying nice and cool and getting good airflow to the skin is always going to help with the heat rash. When I have somebody who wants to use sunscreen, I'm so proud of them for using sunscreen, but then they get a rash from sunscreen, we recommend that people purchase a sensitive skin sunscreen, which contains titanium and zinc as the active ingredient.
That's a good tip because it is sometimes it can sting, especially little guys. And so if you get the sensitive skin or just the kid-friendly, no more tears kind of thing, you know, generally that sort of doesn't happen. So wrap it up for us, Dr. Bernstein, with your best advice about bugs, bites, stings, rashes, all of these summer things that show up on our kids' skin.
The best advice is still to get outside and play and be out there. Kids and adults should be enjoying the world and not staring at their devices and playing video games. No matter what, if there's going to be bugs, mosquitoes, ticks in the area where you're going to be, and mosquitoes especially are out at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, we do recommend using a DEET-containing bug spray. And then we still recommend sunscreen all day long, every 2 hours, and especially after a kid has been in the water. They get out of the water, you dry them off, and you put on more sunscreen. But get out there and enjoy the day.
Certainly great advice. And so parents, share this with your friends who take their kids camping and in lakes and things, because this is really important information to keep our kids from having all of those little things that will send us off to the doctor. But you're listening to this show, and our experts are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. And if you like this show, subscribe to us on iTunes. You can listen on iHeart, you can listen on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and of course, RadioMD.com. We're all over the place. So share these shows, because that's the way that we all learn from the experts together. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD and Healthy Children. Stay well.